Apple a day keeps the pressure off Ryan Day.
IU. I just add IU at the end.
It's a kind of a good call out. You know, our we might be concerned about IU. Okay.
That's true. It is interesting though. I mean, everybody's talking about how IU is going to be a tough game. It's like it's kind of true, but if you're struggling to beat IU, no matter how good they are, you might as well shut down the program when you're paying your roster $20 million to...
They asked Matt Rhule who was tougher to play against.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And he said, you can't get me to answer that. Smart fella.
Okay. Oh my God. That's sick. All right, let's go. What are we doing for halftime?
We can either talk...
We're doing halftime two-step.
We can either talk about coach's hot seat
or
the interpretation of the targeting rule. Or we can touch on both.
Yeah,
you want to
sure.
touch on both?
Yeah, we can. Well, we'll just keep it tight and do...
we'll see where it goes.
Seat. Okay.
We'll see where it goes.
I want to start off by asking you just what the mood was like in the stadium. I mean, it just seems so awful on TV.
It was lethargic forever. Are the students here?
Yeah.
It felt like a game that might happen in early September.
Yeah.
We're coming off a rivalry week also, in which I correctly predicted the Bowling Green Falcons to win. Just want to point
that
out.
Good call. So did Kyle and Michael Burwell, our UT and BG beat writers. I predicted a one-point Toledo win. I'm an idiot.
Well, we've known that. So we know that OSU sucks.
Yep.
We know that UT sucks.
Yep.
We know that BG just rocks. And we know that...
Still sucks, but... Good
but
game.
Coming off a rivalry win, that
and
feels
Michigan
good.
Sucks.
And Michigan, well, they fist fought their rival, so that's moral
true.
Victory
that's
and
true.
A W
right,
in the left-hand
right.
column.
You see that interview afterward for their tight end, Colston. He said, you know, we keep it classy here at Michigan, but if they want to get busy, we'll get busy.
So, you know, you've got to give Michigan credit for getting busy. Good rivalry win for Bowling Green.
Great scene.
At UT, where they have the rocket pointed at the campus of Bowling Green, Dave.
I have heard it's slightly offline. It actually, maybe it's adjusting for the seasonal winds, but no wind, I don't think it would hit Bowling Green. It would probably hit like a random apartment in Haskins.
Well, I want you to know the college football rocket is pointed at you, Toledo Blade columnist David Briggs.
That's true.
And at this room, the center of college football, where we record the heart of the rivalry, your favorite college football podcast. I'm your host, Phil Kaplan. We cover the teams of...
Toledo.
And...
Bowling Green.
And...
Buckeyes.
And...
UM.
That's right. I got to go to the Ohio State game where they played Nebraska... Just an ugly game. Made me feel good to know that our defense can step up when possible.
Tell me about this scene there. Just watching it on TV, it looked just so dead, so nerve-wracking. I mean, it just seemed like everybody was so nervous.
The guy with his shirt off at the top of C-Deck was hyped.
Was that you?
It was not.
Okay.
It was not, and that was not part of my group. We were
the
group of graduates.
Good thing you didn't get hit with the hot dog shooter.
He was in the group of people that went to Ohio State for a little bit.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
That difference. And yet we were all sitting next to each other in the village up there on C-Deck.
I saw
beautiful day.
Yeah, but
we'd run the ball. We'd run the ball. We'd have a good play. And you'd say, okay, great. Run it again. That doesn't mean you have to run the exact same play. I don't know if Chip Kelly listens to this show. I hope that he does.
I'd assume.
But you don't need to run the mesh point run twice in a row. You can run different running plays twice in a row, Chip.
Yeah.
I'm just letting you know.
I think they're trying to establish the run and force it because they know they're going to need it later
you
in
can
the year, and they think they can do it. They think they can. They think they can run anything because it's Nebraska.
You
and it's
can
just
run
like,
anything, just not the mesh point.
I know
handoff
but it's just like,
over
I
and
know.
Over.
It's almost like a test of just a battle of attrition. It's like our offensive line, from Ohio State's perspective, should just move them off the ball. Should be able to run anything. We're Ohio State. La di da. Obviously, it doesn't work that way.
No,
and
that's foolhardy. But we have enough, and we did get some good runs. I just thought the play calling on the runs didn't do us any favors, and our line can play better.
Yeah.
But they were put in bad spots, and then
lost their star left tackle, and then the left tackle who came in and was terrible.
Okay, fair.
He is also out, so Ohio State's really going to have to shift the line around for Saturday. I liked Will Howard's comments this week, just kind of talking about the extra motivation. He's from Pennsylvania, like you said, and he's like, you know, Penn State didn't recruit me, and like we'll see if he makes them pay. But how often do you have a quarterback at Ohio State that's talking like a guy at Toledo or BG getting motivation from another school not recruiting them. I mean, a guy who's a quarterback at Ohio State was probably recruited by every school in the country, but unique situation.
Not Penn State.
Unique situation here. And that, well, he went to, I don't, he didn't really have any big offers. I think his final schools were Maryland, Rutgers, Kansas State, goes out to Kansas State pretty good. But people will remember, I mean, Will Howard was not going to be the starter at Kansas State this year. He was going to be the backup. That's why he transferred. I think he's a better fit for Ohio State's offense than Kyle McCord last year. But it's not like this is some surefire home run plug and play superstar.
Michigan,
they're cycling all the way back to Davis Warren.
They're back to Davis Warren. He threw a touchdown pass. They also threw it to running back who threw a touchdown pass. What were your thoughts on that game?
Probably about the same thoughts as you. After the first quarter, I think it was like 100 and it was like 14 minutes. Michigan State had the ball. They're up 7-0. Michigan just looking terrible. It looks like they're going to get run out of their own building. And yeah, credit to them. I mean, just kind of grind out a win and showed a lot of fight. Probably didn't want to see the fight from both teams after the game, but that's kind of a Michigan State staple.
So let's wrap up the A1 segment with our hometown rivalry, BG Toledo. Lots of action, lots of stuff going on in that game. Great rivalry. I also predicted an odd score. I got that with the 2-point conversion.
That's true.
A bunch of
don't
goals.
Think it was 41-20.
41-26 is a unique football
score.
It is
for sure. First of all, awesome crowd. I mean, imagine looking at that setting, the sun-splashed stadium, 30,000 people, biggest crowd since 2016 when they also had a Saturday afternoon game against Bowling Green. So imagine,
must be something to that Saturday afternoon.
Imagine watching that and thinking, yeah, let's play it in front of 17,000 people on a Tuesday night in November for a benefit of an ESPNU audience. So note to ESPN, let's keep this on Saturday where it belongs. This is how you sell your community. This is how you sell your campus. Just an awesome day for Toledo and Bowling Green communities. Now, for the football side, obviously a lot better day for Bowling Green. And Bowling Green just kind of has Toledo's number lately relative to the talent disparity. Toledo is Scott Loeffler, 3-3 against Toledo in his 6 years as coach now. 1-22, and now again this year. And this is probably the biggest win of the Scott Loeffler era because, you know, they've had some previous big wins. Like
and some moral victories.
Some huge upsets at Minnesota, at Georgia Tech, the previous wins against Toledo. But those were kind of all like unexpected surprises and just like, wow, this is our boys fought hard and delivered a nice surprise. This is kind of the first game where there were big expectations. You know, this is the year they're supposed to win. And they rose to the moment in a hostile, in a great college football setting,
a fever pitch at the Glass Bowl,
and beat their rival. The big play of the game was the pick six at the end of the first half.
Changed the tenor.
Totally,
it seemed like on
totally
TV.
Swung momentum. And yeah, credit to Bowling Green. This is a huge game for them, and they delivered. Is he related to Rick Aguilar?
All right. On the halftime segment of Heart of the Rivalry, we like to go off the field, and we have our first edition on this beloved program of Hot Seat. Ryan Day has kind of been there all year. I think Jason Candle is joining him there. What are your thoughts?
I would not say that at all. If we're going on 1 to 10 of who's on the hot seat, I mean, Jason Candle would be a 1 at the very lowest end. I mean,
but
he just
on it. One, he's got a single cheek on it.
Every single coach in the country is on it.
That is probably true.
Obviously, after every loss, especially when you lose by 2 touchdowns at home to your rival in front of a sold-out stadium, there's going to be the message board and the not as quite of a frenzied scene as like a Michigan or Ohio State message board scene. But Toledo does have an active, diehard fan base, and obviously very disappointed. Social media, you look at the official Toledo's Facebook and Twitter accounts, all the things are negative. Fire everybody. No, again, Jason Candle just signed a contract extension. They lost 14 starters from last year when they won 11 straight games, and we're in the top 25, and that's what you want to in the MAC. You're cycling toward those years. Last year was at the very top of the cycle, and no, they didn't quite maximize it. They were in the mix to be one of the top group of five team, and they didn't quite get there. They lost the MAC title game, and then lost the bowl game, but that was a very good year last year. They won the MAC title in 2022, and they're one of the best teams in the country, group of five-wise, last year. This is a normal ebb and flow. This is kind of the... They're probably going to go 8-4 this year. They lost the MAC MVP. They lost the MAC Offensive Player of the Year. They lost the top cornerback drafted in the entire NFL draft. They lost, again, 14 starters. So if you're going 8-4 in that kind of year, even though the loss Saturday was frustrating, I think that's a sign the program's in a pretty good place. And then you cycle back up. Jason Candle is 3 wins shy of Gary Pinkel's all-time wins record at Toledo.
I read that in the column by David Britz.
And it's not, and this isn't some apology tour for Jason Candle. I mean, I've been critical of various issues and inconsistencies in the program in the past.
And you've asked him about it.
I think they've shown a lot in the last few years, and I would not be concerned where the program is at now. But you just look at it. Jason Candle has won, I believe, 66% of his games. That's the same as Gary Pinkel won here. That's higher than Frank Lauterbauer, who was probably the most famous coach in Toledo history, the architect of those 3 straight undefeated teams from 69 to 71 that, you know, forever the toast of Toledo.
Shout out
Chuck Ealy, Mel Long, those great guys. It's pretty much more than anybody. Matt Campbell had a little bit, I think he had a 70% winning percentage, but he was only here for 4 years. So Jason Candle is kind of in the mix with almost any coach in Toledo history. So I don't know. I think the program's in a pretty good place. So if we're doing the hot seat rankings, I'd put him at 1, maybe 1.5.
Ryan Day.
12.
So we can double up here because you've got Arvin Reese. He lowers his shoulder and his forearm.
I think Ryan Day's response to that reflects how hot the seat is.
Exactly. Because he lost. I have never seen his face that red, and I have seen his face red.
So how much stuff was getting thrown on the field? Was it just the students?
Not a lot. Not a lot. You could see it, that it was coming down from mostly the south stands.
Yeah, yeah.
And a little bit of that corner right there
at
the bottom of the shoe. Yes. Okay. Yes, you will be removed, or, you know, something to that effect. Yeah. A couple bottles bounced in the end zone. The cheerleaders ran for cover. You know, it got ugly. Yeah. But I have to say, after that point, you had an energetic, enthralled, engaged crowd.
Yeah.
I'm just not advocating for what brought them there.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it took that long, and it took something like that
right.
to get the crowd involved.
So, yeah, I mean, just how much Ryan Day lost it probably reflects how much pressure he's under. I guess if we're going on the
powder keg,
the one
he's
that
on the 12.
I know, it's just a boiling teapot here. He's probably on the scale of 1 to 10. The pressure he's under, probably about 27. He's not on the hot seat yet, but if they lose to Penn State on Saturday, he absolutely will be. And I think he kind of will be coaching for his job at that point. I still don't believe he would actually be fired. Everything else in the program is going so well with the recruiting. But at some point, you can't just say, oh, wow, we're so talented, and who are you going to get that's better? The pipeline is so stacked. You actually have to win with the talent. And when you're pretty much national title or bust, you better not fall to 7-2.
The or bust is a narrow margin.
Right, right. So it's it's a BFD.
Welcome to the Scouting Report on the Heart of the Rivalry. We're going to cycle through these pretty quick. Dave, you said the low-hanging fruit is BG at the Central Michigan Chippewas.
Central Michigan down to their third-string quarterback. BG coming off the big win. Scott Loeffler afterwards said he's going to be an absolute maniac this week. His players are going to hate him. You know, he said Lloyd Carr, his coach at Michigan, taught him you coach him the hardest after a big win, as coaches say. So he's going to keep his foot down this week, and I expect Bowling Green, as inconsistent as they are, to follow it up with another big win.
No trap. The Ducks are coming to the Big House.
Yeah.
What does Michigan have to do to beat an undefeated and number one ranked Oregon team?
I guess you just have to hope that Oregon, those kind of traveling across 3 time zones, isn't playing like itself. And Michigan has to play the game of its season. And Davis Warren has to play the game of his season. And if A, B, C, D, E, F, and G happens, I think Michigan has a chance to keep this close. So we'll see.
Toledo?
At Eastern Michigan.
I wasn't going to say it.
This is... this is kind of a swing game for Toledo. They're 2-2 now. All four of its games the rest of the way are winnable. In fact, they'll be favored in all of them. At Eastern Michigan on Saturday, then three MAC Michigan games against Central, Akron, and Ohio. So I would expect them to go 3-1 in those and finish 8-4. But Eastern Michigan, 8-point favorites. I expect Toledo to bounce back and get it done here.
And finally, we know Ohio State is traveling to Happy Valley to play in Beaver Stadium. It's not a night game, though.
It's not. So big noon kickoff.
I think that bodes better for Ohio State, and I'm going to sneak in with a prediction here. I think Ohio State smokes Penn State. I think they give it to them.
Yeah, it's very possible. I mean, Ohio State certainly has a higher gear than Penn State, and if they're clicking, if they're motivated, if they're engaged.
I think they're mad.
Will Howard plays
well. I think they're mad.
Oh, man. I agree. I mean, selfishly, I'm glad it's at noon just for, you know, our reasons as with deadline and get out of Happy Valley before when those night games, you're not leaving the stadium.
Gives more Dave time with the thesaurus.
Yeah, you're not leaving the stadium at 2:30 in the morning. And when there is still a traffic jam, there is no worse traffic than 110,000 people on just these little roads going in the middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania.
It is a little bit of nowhere. I have.
You've been to a game there?
I have.
Yeah.
The stadium almost appears out of nowhere.
Once you get there. And, you know, the mountains are surrounding it. It's a beautiful scene. But
yeah.
It is like, holy smokes. There's a campus here. And the stadium's kind of like a quirky-looking Erector set that they've just made like 50 renovations without kind of any architectural thought to like how it will apply or how it will mesh with the previous iteration of the stadium. So just a fascinating stadium. And I agree. It's a big advantage for it to be at noon. Because that is the absolute best atmosphere in the country when it's at night.
Oh, it's tough to play in. I think at some point we're going to get you to do top five worst stadiums in the country.
I can do that. Yeah. We'll do that next week.
I'm looking forward to it.
All right.
This has been a great episode of Heart of the Rivalry. We will see you next week.
I think Ohio State wins, but not...
Not a smoke show? Not a woodshed?
Not by 40. What is woodshedding then mean? 40?
So let me give
63
you a...
63-7?
I do not think that, but I think Ohio State has been stuck in the mud, and they're gonna rev up their race car. I'm looking for 48-14.
Looking
for 48-21.
Okay. Yeah, that would certainly have everybody back on the bandwagon for
Six
sure.
Six touchdowns, two field goals. That's how it breaks down. That's how you get your money back from the bank.
Duh, Bears.
He's All Dave right. Briggs. I'm Phil Kaplan. We'll see you next time.
Do you seriously think that? That'd be crazy.
I would not publish it.
I know.
If I did not
I know.
Think
That's
so.
Nuts. I love it. I will hope so. That'd be awesome.